time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. I'm Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia. We got you here today until 2 o'clock on the East. It is February 2nd, 2021. We're closing in on Super Bowl Sunday. Can't wait for that. 6:40 Eastern, Bucks and Chiefs. A lot of betting discussion, a lot of props discussion coming this hour. Tomorrow on the show, Dr. David Chow will give us the latest in injuries. And also our friend Josh Cohen from PC Sports Cards will join us. Josh couldn't get to his office because of the snow. And so, therefore, he couldn't do our segment there, Joe, yesterday. And I know that you're in the market for a new mailbox. So if anybody out there is in the New Jersey area that makes mailboxes, give Joe a call. He needs a new one.
Yeah, that's right. Any out there who's in construction, give me a call and we'll see what we can do out there. But, I mean, you know, I'm looking at these plows and they are driving like 55 miles an hour. And you see the snow is just flying up 20 feet in the air. And do we really have to do this? Like, do we have to quite go at that speed in order to clear the roads? And I understand these guys are out there doing great service to everybody. But geez, like, just slow down a little bit. Do we have to literally plow over my mailbox? Oh, my God. It's terrible, Craig. It's terrible. But everything is better because this morning when I woke up and I saw a one transaction there by the New York Mets that we talked about last week, a guy who got released by your Marlins that I said, somebody's going to pick him up. And he said, no, they're not. No one's going to pick that guy up. Then he did, and that made it all better.
Yeah, this is not somebody that I would want on my fantasy team. That's the nicest way that I could put it. But all right, let's start off here. Last night in the NBA, some fans ejected in Atlanta for exchanging words with LeBron James. If you don't know what this is, a quick Google search will take you to what you need. As Joe mentioned yesterday, there was someone that wanted Jordan Yamamoto, and it was the New York Mets. Now, Yamamoto pitched very well for the Marlins for about a month and a half, and then didn't ever since, but maybe this will rekindle some of that magic. I'm not really sure. Magic forward Aaron Gordon out 4 to 6 weeks with an ankle sprain, and they've already had a couple of tough injuries to start the season for sure. Clippers at Nets tonight. Tonight, the six-game NBA slate, so bet the over. Clippers-Nets is pretty much money in the bank every night. And Baylor will take on Texas in the Big 12. But you know, certainly, Joe, you're going to see a lot of baseball transactions this time of the year. This is certainly one that I can speak to. Yamamoto, who pitched very well with the Marlins in 2019 for about 7-8 games, all of a sudden the video started to come in, and then he started getting walloped at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Well, 2020 started, and we didn't have a season. So all of the players essentially, as you know, basically were having to throw in their backyards. This was March, April, May, and June. The pandemic happened. You were in your house, Joe. I was in my house. Players were in their homes. And they just had to kind of figure it out. Well, when they reported back to the alternate campsites in spring training and then had that build up again, and in this case, Miami's was at Marlins Park, they did not like what they saw from Jordan Yamamoto. And I'm not sure that Yamamoto was prepared to start back up again for whatever reason. I'm not sure. Marlins decided to part ways with him. He's going to have to be a lot better to pitch again, I think, in the big leagues. He'll go on their 40-man roster, so he's going to have to kind of make the team or else he gets essentially sent back. But I don't think he's part of the Mets rotation, Joe, and you should be scared if he is.
I think that is all very fair assessment, but it's classic Mets, right? That's what we do. And speaking of classic Mets, you know, I know at the top of the show, we talked a little bit. We just kind of briefly touched on the Mickey Callaway situation, former Mets manager, and now obviously pitching coach for the Angels, or maybe not very long pitching coach for the Angels. Right. My question is this too. This was all under Sandy Alderson, if memory serves, right? Alderson was the guy that hired Callaway to come in. And then the most recent GM is the guy that they had to fire for something similar, which leads me to this question, Craig Mish. What's going on at the HR department in the New York Mets? Like, where is the vetting of people? Where are we looking? I mean, you understand. I mean, you're tied into the rumors and perhaps facts that are floating around, and you know that people talk about stuff. I find it hard to believe that there was no chatter whatsoever about either of these two guys at any point and some of their extracurricular activities or things that they would be doing. I just find that a little hard to believe that somewhere along the line, somebody didn't mention something and somebody said, maybe we should look into it. So, I mean, it's sort of I understand sometimes you get caught and you don't know what people are doing behind closed doors, and that is fair. But at the same time, now that it's happened to two different people once employed at a very high level in this organization, what does Sandy Alderson have to say about this? Like, what does Sandy Alderson have in terms of culpability and things like that for not doing more due diligence on these kind of guys?
Yeah, it's a fair point because, you know, times were, listen, this is unacceptable on every level, but we know that this was a lot more prevalent 20 years ago than it is now. I would hope at least that that is the case. And at that time, things were much different. This was pre-boom of the internet 25, 30 years ago. I really don't have the answer to that, Joe. I would tell you that there are definitely stories that somebody like myself would hear and still have heard. And that leads me to believe that there's a lot of other things happening around baseball that are just simply not being reported. I've never heard anything like this happening before. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that, with texts and sending pictures like the previous firing and then this one to be as well. And considering that, you know, the thing to me that kind of stuck more than anything else in this one, Joe, was the fact that Callaway married, right? Like, that one was like, whoa, okay, I need to go reread the story again and see exactly what happened here. But yeah, there has to be a change, and people have to speak up, especially if it's something like this. I can't imagine that no one knew about this for years and years, but you know, it's just kind of a sad state of what's going on, just hiring in general, not just in baseball, but in other sports as well. All right, so hot stove discussion. We'll go to the Phillies next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as we close in on pitchers and catchers reporting on February the 17th. We hope there will be a 2021 normal regular season of some kind, and what normal is at this point, no one really knows. But the reality is that today, Nolan Arenado had his press conference with the St. Louis Cardinals. Also, the Colorado Rockies had theirs, talking about trading Nolan Arenado. We'll have some of that for you on tomorrow's show, since it's happening while we're on the air right now. Well, yesterday, the catcher who signed the biggest contract in the history of Major League Baseball at average annual salary, JT Realmuto, 5 years, $115.5 million, ended up having his discussion with the media yesterday. And one of the things that JT was asked was how important it was for him as a catcher to sort of represent all catchers in the game. And he said, simply put, that the catcher position is still very important. He wanted to make sure that people knew that.
Moving the market in that sense wasn't really always the most important thing to me. I was happy that, obviously, in my opinion, catchers are a little devalued in baseball, whether it be because, you know, the long-term contracts haven't really panned out, or because in theory we age faster, whatever that may be. You know, it's a little tougher for catchers when they get up in age, and it's tougher to get those long-term deals. And quite frankly, that average annual value is not as high as other, you know, top position players at their position. So for whatever reason that is, I was happy to not let that go backwards, you know. And I know it's been a long time since Mauer had his deal, so it's a little different scenario that baseball's in. But I think post-pandemic, we're pretty happy with the deal that we got.
And Joe, look, the stats for catchers are never going to stack up with some of the other players in the game. I mean, this is just a fact. But I'll say it before, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't quite think that the catcher is the quarterback in football. But let's be honest, aside from fantasy, the reality is, Joe, they're involved in every play of the game. The left fielder can just sit in left field and never get a ball. Same at right, same at short. But the catcher, even though the stats don't back it up, are as important or more than anything else. They're calling all of the plays. They're calling all of the pitches in most cases. And people will counter Joe, and they'll say, well, the starting pitcher, he's the one that controls the game. He's out after the fifth now, and then it's the bullpen. So, look, I'm obviously partial to the player here. I'm very happy that JT got what he got. And when someone can put up the kind of offensive numbers that he does as a catcher, and by the way, do it consistently for a number of years, and be the defensive player that he is, it's sort of a no-brainer. And as you could tell from what he said there, it was important for him to kind of set the bar for everybody else that comes into the game. And hopefully that will change and catcher will be looked at differently, but the stats don't back it up offensively and the games played don't also. And unfortunately, these guys' careers are usually cut short.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of truths in what JT Realmuto was saying. The first truth is that catchers are undervalued. And yes, they have a huge impact on the game, on the pitching staff collectively, on the game flow, everything. I mean, catchers are just incredibly important. When you have an offensive catcher like JT Realmuto also, that's a game changer. I mean, you're right to a certain extent. I think you have to go back to, as scary as it might sound, like Mike Piazza, maybe very end of Javi Lopez's prime, when you had those actual catchers that were real big time middle of the order threats. You just don't see that very often with the position. It's, I don't know, it's been devalued so much as it's really been emphasized defense so much, and the defense so much as you're willing to get the offense in other places. And we've seen great players over the last 25 years or so get moved out of catcher, you know, great players, right, you know, that have great bats. I mean, always going back to Carlos Delgado, who came up as a catcher, people forget. Bat was too good. They wanted him in the lineup all the time. They wanted to make sure that they kept that bat for a very long time healthy. They moved him to first base. Even in more recent years, you've seen other guys get moved off of that catcher position. And that's why when you're making investment in catchers, you got to be careful. I mean, Matt Wieters was supposed to be that guy, right? We were sold the bill of goods that Matt Wieters was going to be that next Piazza kind of Joe Mauer-ish kind of guy that was going to be that MVP bat, but also a catcher. And it's just hard to do. Now, the other thing that's true in what JT said, even though he dismissed it, catchers do, unfortunately, age not quicker, but the end comes quicker sometimes for them because it is a wear and tear position, and there's no way around that. It just is. So that's not a conceptual thing. It's an actual thing, and there's plenty of data to back it up, which is unfortunate, but it's the truth. And you look at that list of catchers you threw out there, there's some really good catchers right now in the game. Some guys out there, they're 20 home run threats, Realmuto being one of them. Sal Perez, I think, being one of the more underrated ball players. A great guy to manage a rotation, very well liked in the clubhouse, and catcher's a leader position on the field and typically off of it as well. I think that's why you see some people also kind of get moved into the catcher role at some point in their baseball career, in high school and college, because they have that kind of leadership ability. You want that to trickle down. Now, that list of catchers you showed that was pretty interesting. There's actually a guy missing from that I wanted to highlight and talk a little bit about you, because he broke out last year. And you see, this list is great. Travis Darnell had a great season. Grandal's had a really good run here the last few years. Will Smith, Gary Sanchez, a little up and down. But I want to go back to Christian Vasquez, because that season 2 years ago in 2019, where he exploded out of nowhere for 23 home runs, I thought could not possibly be for real. Now, last year was a small sample, 47 games. Boston had a ton of problems, right? But he had 283 last year over those 60 games. His slugging percentage was basically the same. It was like 20, you know, he was like 477 to 457 year over year. That is not a big drop off. So Christian Vasquez going into some fantasy seasons this year might be a catcher to pay close attention to, because Realmuto is going to be a high pick. Sal Perez is going to be always a someone where I can make a good investment at a catcher here. I feel good about Sal Perez. Darnold, right. Grandal, all kind of hot names. But then there's Christian Vasquez, who kind of just flies under the radar. And I get it. He doesn't have the same ceiling as some of these other players, but maybe he does. And maybe now that we've had that extra 47 game look at him last year on top of the 2019, we can start actually sitting back and going, you know what? This ADP for the player and productivity is really good investment at a position that is very difficult to fill.
Yeah, I think that for me, when I look at the catcher position and going back to looking at some of the numbers from 2020, which again are very much skewed. There's only 60 games, sure. And JT was on top of that. Gary Sanchez hit a .190 too. Let's not forget about
terrible.
That. I think Wilson Contreras has had some ups and downs too, but I think the issue that I would have with Vasquez, where it's not that I would disagree, it's just that I think that I'm not quite as bullish on someone like that, is that we always see a catcher break out in some way. And then you wonder if it's real or if it can be repeated. Mitch Garver is a perfect example of that from a couple of years ago. And Joe, I just simply want to see it for more than a season and a half or two seasons to believe, oh, okay, like this is exactly who he is. And I almost would be like, you know what? Give me Austin Nola. Maybe he or Aaron Nola. Yeah, Austin Nola. Let's see if he ends up hitting 15 home runs for the Padres. And let me take a shot on somebody else as opposed to paying more. Now, the player that you're mentioning is not going to be drafted that high anyway, so it's not going to make a difference.
Right.
That's a perfect example.
That's my example, is because Wilson Contreras will be. Wilson Contreras is a name recognition guy who, you look at the stats, they're good, but you pay a premium because he plays for the Cubs. It's, you know, we always talk about, you know, the tax on wagering here on teams like the Cowboys and things like that. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to fantasy. There's a tax on Yankees, there's a tax on Cubs, there's a tax on big market teams, Boston Red Sox, but ironically, not so much on Vasquez. And that's kind of the point I'm making, which is if you're going to, you know, if Vasquez is just okay, he's not maybe Wilson Contreras, but if he's good and at the same pace that he's been for a year and a half, he is almost equal to Wilson Contreras. And we're talking a giant ADP chasm between the two. And that's something when you're filling a position like catcher that doesn't play every day already to begin with, it's something to really build into your draft plan and understand whether or not, you know, if a guy's only going to play 140 games or 130 games, how much of an investment do I want to make? And can I get some quality stats later on? And I think Vasquez is one of those guys, doesn't have the ceiling, but maybe has a good enough floor. And I'm with you. 1 year, not so much. A year and a half, now I'm starting to be intrigued a little bit.
And again, the Red Sox, and from a reality point of view, haven't added anybody at catcher. So it tells you they believe in him as well. That's important, definitely.
True.
Okay, coming up next, it's time for us to talk a little bit more. Super Bowl props, fantasy reality is also underway and on deck. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Fantasy Sports Today. I know we're all looking forward to the Super Bowl on Sunday. We've got a lot of programming for you, which we will cover, of course, as the week goes on. I'll be in on Sunday along with Joe Ranieri. Joe Pisapia will have his crew in on Sunday morning as well. It's the last football game of the year, you know? It's like we made it through. Joe, we got to this point. It had a lot of bumps. We had Kendall Hinton playing quarterback at one point this season. We had a McSorley, Robert Griffin III combination game on a Wednesday this year. It was wacky. It was weird. And then we've made it to the end. Now, for me, I can't wait for the Super Bowl on Sunday. People are like, well, why can't you wait for the Super Bowl? Well, look, here's the deal. So I've been waiting to take a vacation. Waiting. I mean, we're almost going on 2 years here now, here at Sports Grid. Two full years of doing shows every day. And, you know, here and there, taking a day, yes. But I just can't get to the end of the line of an actual vacation. Like, it's like there's nowhere. I can't go anywhere. And so I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl. I'm not going on a vacation next week, but I will be off. It will be Joe hosting this show all of next week. I will be off all of next week. Yeah, Joe, I just had to do it, right? Like, the longer I wait.
I feel bad you're not going anywhere. Why don't you go get a cabin or something? I don't know. Why don't you go, you know, go just, you know, out there into the woods, be with nature.
I'm going to go out. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to find just go out there. Go to the woods.
Yeah, just go to Craig Mish, getting back to nature. I think that's we should maybe send a camera with you and send some, you know, do some promos. Maybe you could do some Zen kind of stuff out there by a nice stream for Fantasy Sports Today, some nice promo things like that when you're just looking out and just contemplating life and, you know, contemplating a player's BABIP or, you know, the quote that someone's about to give you and things like that. I think that would be some great spots here. Yeah. You know, if we could have Morenci, you know, pushing cameras around and knocking people down at the sports book, I don't know why we can't have you out there in a flannel shirt. You know, out there in the woods, kind of rustic Craig Mish, kind of just doing his thing. But why you could go somewhere. I feel like, I mean, you know, you take the kids off a day, a long weekend, do something. You're just going to stay at home. I mean, come on. You got to be, go do something, please. I know it's hard.
I'll find something, but look, my wife is not going to go anywhere. Like, I just know. So it's just, I don't know. I'll have to figure something. I just can't wait anymore. The longer I wait, I feel like it's just the opportunity is not going to be there. So next week is the week.
That's
got to happen. Got to start. Got to start it up. And if there's no, and if they delay the baseball season, then I don't even know what to say. But Joe will be with you all next week, Monday through Friday, from noon to 2 Eastern, with his cast of characters and friends and Brett Levy and whoever else is here.
It's going to be like a Scooby-Doo episode. It's going to be great. All my cast, all my wacky characters and friends. Who knows? Someone's going to take a mask off. It's going to end up be somebody else. Dagging. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You know, somebody's like, we think it's Scott Farrell, and he pulls the mask off, and it turns out to be Dane Martinez. It's going to be crazy stuff. You're going to want to tune in. It's going to be must-see television. Believe me.
Okay. Back to props we go. The most exciting prop on the board, penalties. Oh, we love penalties, right? Maybe not. But we'll get it out of the way here very quickly. Penalty props. Roughing the passer, Joe. Deep dive into roughing the passer here. Plus 175 on the yes. What does it mean if you're a novice bettor? I feel like we never talk to novice bettors. We just throw lines out and just assume that everyone knows what we're talking about. I don't do that. That means you're risking $100 to win $175 on the yes. And on the no, you're risking $230 to win $100. So look, don't always recommend bets of $200 or above. It's kind of silly to do. They don't really make a lot of sense. But I'll tell you what, if I had to guess between one of the two and I was forced and somebody said, give me $10 and put it on something, I would put it on the yes. I would take a shot here. I feel like there's been a lot of roughing the passer penalties in the playoffs.
James has already chimed in over from LTN. He made sure that he had his voice very well thought of, because already he's talking about, well, you know, Tom Brady's going to talk the refs into a call of passing or, roughing the passer. Somebody's going to touch him or breathe on him or sneeze on him or something like that. And it's going to be a big penalty. And he's not wrong. I mean, let's be honest. He's not wrong. Tom Brady has been very adept at doing this throughout many, many decades now. And it's very possible. These are two very well-known protected quarterbacks. So what happens if somebody does get hit a little late? You're going to protect the quarterback. It's the NFL. It's a Super Bowl. The last thing you want is one of these guys going out of a game, right? But the defenses know this. Despite the fact the defenses know this, things happen. Guys get knocked into guys. The heat of the game. I'm with you. If I had to pick something here, I would pick the yes. Because picking the yes to me feels like, once again, these are the protected assets. And even if you push the envelope a little too far, you're going to get called for it. And I think that is probably very true in this game. Now, that being said, I hope they let these teams play. We've seen a few games here this year where, look, the refs are always going to make a mistake here and there. Okay, it's just the game. Anybody complaining about that, score more points than the other team, stop complaining about it. My point is this. I like when the game is kind of called loose, and I think you know what I'm talking about, where they let guys be physical, they let them play the game, they don't interrupt the rhythm of the game because it has such a negative impact on watching, especially in the Super Bowl, because there's so many commercials, so many breaks, so many long interim periods where you're not getting any football, that when you throw the penalties on top of that, it's like you're waiting sometimes minutes and minutes and minutes just for one play to happen. And I do not want to see that. So I'm begging all the referees watching the program today, please be loose with this game. Let them play. Let them play. Let them play. Let's do it. Please. Don't call every single stupid ticky-tack foul all over the place. Let's not do that, okay? No penalties unless it's a real penalty and we can really justify it. That's it. That's all I got.
All right, let's move on to the first accepted penalty in the game. First accepted penalty. So, for example, holding on the, you know what, offense, defense, special teams, holding on the pizza-pias, it's possible. All of them are possible. All right, so offense is plus 115. Defense is plus 130. So all three of these are plus. That's interesting. And then special teams is plus 450. So I kind of feel like, given the way that the offenses play, let's talk through this a little bit, that for special teams, I kind of feel like it has to be on the opening kickoff. Obviously, it could be on a punt, but these two teams don't punt all that often. And I don't really see it happening on a kick of any kind either. So even though it's plus 450, I don't like that bet at all. So it would be plus 115 on the offense, Joe, or plus 130 on the defense. Does it feel like defense gives you the most value here, hoping for a PI or hoping for a defensive holding of some kind?
Right. Well, look, think of it this way. You know, both of these teams are going to have a pretty set playlist of what they're going to come in out of the gate with, right? I mean, that's typically what these teams do, especially when they've had extra time to prepare. They come out in that first drive with a list of plays, the way they want to approach things, and then the defense kind of has to make adjustments. And the thing with both these defenses at times, they can be a little aggressive. They do have guys that like to pass rush. They do have guys that want to, you know, the JPPs of the world and Jones of the world and some of these guys we talked about, Frank Clark, who like to be on top of that snap count, right? That sometimes gets you in a little bit of trouble, right? Sometimes the defense, a little bit too aggressive. Next thing you know, it's an offside. Next thing you know, it's 5 yards to do it again. So I think that, to me, would be the one that I would target just from the knowledge of the quarterback's knowledge of the offenses and how they want to run things. Now, it could be on the same side, maybe a little bit of jitters on the offense. Sure, you could think that. But I think that's less of a case when you don't have a packed house. I think when you have a packed house on the offensive side and you've got the ball and you're all, you know, just – completely hyped up on the emotion and adrenaline of the game, I'm sure it's going to be there, but I think it's going to be a little different when you don't have an entire packed house as opposed to the limited number of fans you're going to have. I would look for the defense, and I don't know if that's a good enough argument for you, but that's the argument at least I would make for the defensive side of this one.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of good options for offense as well. Holding, first play of the game. A false start is also a very good possibility for one of these teams. The Chiefs do a lot of motion too, and you could see that happening as well. But what I like about this one is that the three options are all plus money. So you're risking 100 to win 115 or 100 to win 130 or 100 to win 450. I could find a way for special teams if it ended up being a low scoring game. The other special teams possibilities is, of course, the guy runs out of bounds, he comes back in. We've seen quite a bit of that over the last few weeks, too, as a possibility. But I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to go defense plus 130. Which unit will have the first accepted penalty? I think that probably gives one of the best opportunities. One of the things that I've always found, I got to go back to last year. I think I've won this 2 years in a row. Where Brett, let's do this one tomorrow. See if you can find it on FanDuel. The total amount of penalties in the game. This thing has gone under a lot over the last few years. A lot. Like,
I remember last year on the radio, us talking about this, and you made the same statement last year, and we came back the next Monday after the Super Bowl, and you said, "See, I told you it hit again." And this is like 2 or 3 years in a row where it's the under happening. For the penalties hit.
Yeah, it keeps happening. I don't remember what the number was last year. It may have been 11 or 11 and a half. And it's early in the week, so I haven't dove in yet on a lot of these props. But if it's in that range, I think that I would probably go under again. I think that the first half there was like none last year. And then the second half, a lot of penalties started happening. They started calling. It got really close. Another one that I usually do under on is sacks, total sacks in the game. Usually it's about I want to say 4.5, 5.5, somewhere in that range. But you know, the some of my favorites just are, you know, we'll dive into
under on that one makes sense too, because you know, because you lose
the Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Well, and they're not great, or like you said, they're not iconic pass rushing teams. And on top of that, just from the Patrick Mahomes side, his ability to avoid the pass rush or just sense it and get rid of the football is astounding. So I think that's also part of that equation that I would add in.
Yep. All right, coming up next, it's a little fantasy or reality, so make sure you stay tuned. We're going to talk about Tua Tagovailoa, who did a radio interview yesterday with Dan Patrick, also Dustin Pedroia conversation, and boy, a passing away of one of the icons of the 80s television and 90s television. We'll have that for you next. So make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. Now, I will be in the house here on Super Bowl Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. with Joe Ranieri as we do a props and parlay show getting ready for the big game. Joe, on the other hand, will be in. Are you in? You're in before me or after me on Sunday morning?
Which I'm the early crew. I start the day off with me. It's a cup of Joe in the morning. That's what you get.
Gotcha.
8 o'clock, you get so, me. So. I'm all ready. I'm all hyped up on caffeine. Right. Eric Young is out of his mind. Matt Stryker's hair has grown to a really uncomfortable length. It's going to be a wild show. It's going to be great.
Now, are you going to reveal your meatball recipe on that show?
I don't know. I will. I could do it. In fact, I made meatballs yesterday before yesterday's show here because I knew it was going to be a snow day and I knew the kids wanted to play outside. So I said, I get up in the morning after everybody goes to their virtual school. Put up the sauce, make some meatballs, because no good Italian will serve you meatballs from a sauce that didn't cook for at least 3 hours, okay? It's got to cook as long
three
as possible
hours.
In the sauce. That's three. Up. Three's the minimum in my house.
Three's
the minimum, baby. Minimum. I won't serve it to you. No. No meatballs. Not going to sit in the sauce for at least 3 hours before it goes into your mouth at my house. That's it. That's like the rules. It's like the rules of the house. But I'll give out the recipe. I want to help people out there. It's my job, right, okay. To kind of – you know, make the world a better place. So yeah, I haven't landed on the Super Bowl food yet. Like that's the thing. We always got a thing. I think it's going to be the chili. I told you, I think that's the route we're going, but I don't know. I guess so. I mean, it feels kind of right. Football chili. It feels like the way you want to go. Right. I know you guys are going to have some sort of, you know, tofu burger thing or something like that. And I know it's very limited options.
Probably accurate.
See, that's the sad part. It's like I'm making a joke, and in your soul, in your heart, you just died a little bit inside because you know that's what's happening.
It's true. You know, I'll tell you, yesterday is a perfect example. Now, I did have a salad for dinner yesterday because that was on me. Like, I prepared to have that, but the other option was salmon. The other option was fish.
I like salmon. I actually like the salmon. I make a good salmon, okay, too. All
right. Well, versatility. Those were the options yesterday. So. Maybe I'll have something delicious for lunch. My lunch is about 15 minutes away here. So, okay. Nice. So the faster we talk, maybe the faster the show ends. I don't know. Is that how it works? Okay. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday on the Dan Patrick show, Tua Tagovailoa went on, he went on discussing the possibility of him being back with the Dolphins and being a franchise quarterback and said, basically he thinks that he has to prove it. We know that the Deshaun Watson rumors are out there. We also know that out of nowhere, Matthew Stafford was talked about being traded and then a week later traded, essentially. So who knows? Maybe it could happen with another quarterback in the NFL. Maybe the Dolphins go a different direction. That's what we're going to talk about here in our fantasy reality segment. Joe, fantasy or reality? Tua, after watching him for, I think it was a total of 8 games or 9 games, is a franchise quarterback in the NFL. Fantasy or reality?
Man, I saw this on the docket today, this morning, and I've been thinking about this all day. And this is a really tough one because are my eyes deceiving me from what I saw in college because he played at Alabama, right? That's the big question. You play at Alabama with so much talent around you, it is hard not to look good, even if you're average. And then what happens when you get to the NFL? Now, I think we've seen some glimpses on the NFL level with Tua, but it's also so difficult to judge because of the way he came into the NFL on an injury. Coming in 2020 when there wasn't the normal OTAs on top of all of that, the normal preseason game. So his developmental progression has been completely out of whack from the get-go. So I don't think it's fair to call him a franchise quarterback, and I don't think it's fair to call him a not franchise quarterback. And I know that's like a crappy non-answer, but for right now, I will lean on the idea, and I will lean on the sense of he is. I will lean on the sense of my eyes didn't deceive me. I saw enough, and I'll tell you this. I think I'll call it a reality also because of what he just said on that interview that you just chimed in with, which is the little phrase of, I know I have to earn it and prove it. And I think that makes me feel like he gets it. And I think that is always the thing. I always thought he was going to play more games than anybody else. You and I had that debate in the summer, and I know a lot of people thought I was crazy. I said, he's going to play 8 games or somewhere around there. Like, what? You're going to get 3. No, he's going to play. I think the problem is, he was thrust into a tough situation there because they were winning. It was actually a harder situation with more pressure. And then the whole, well, we're playing well with Fitzpatrick. There were so many elements that were negative for him. Give this guy regular offseason. Give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think he will be your franchise quarterback. I really do. I think he's a high character, high caliber player with a lot of talent. And I think they do have the franchise guy there. I don't think it's been a mistake. So that's my take on that. But I certainly can see the case for the alternative argument. And I just think it's a little early to put the stamp either way.
Yeah, I do think that you can feel both ways on this. I do feel like here in South Florida, there are a lot of apologists that are basically saying yes and definitely, which I don't think is the case. But I feel like you need to see more to make this determination. The Dolphins had very little offensive talent. As well as Gaskin played, we got to keep it real. I mean, this guy is not going to start at running back for the Dolphins next year. It is going to be someone else. The Dolphins' 2 wide receivers they had, one of them being Devontae Parker, the other one being, I don't know, you tell me, he's going to have a better receiver next year. Now, he did have a pretty good tight end in Gesicki, and the offensive line was a little bit shaky for about half the season. It got better as the season went on. I'm going to say reality. I do think he's a franchise quarterback. He did have a ton of weapons at Alabama, also played against inferior talent as opposed to the NFL. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger. We understand that. And it also can't be really good to have basically knowing that there could be a guy coming in to take your gig in the fourth quarter every game like Fitzpatrick. That was the one thing I don't think the Dolphins handled well. If he's the franchise quarterback, you let him play, even if you're losing. You let him work out his issues. This is what happened with Troy Aikman, with Peyton Manning, with every great quarterback that's gone to the Hall of Fame. You got to let him play it out. They didn't bring in Steve Walsh to relieve Troy Aikman in the fourth quarter. He didn't bring in Jeff George to relieve Peyton Manning in Indianapolis if he didn't have a good game and he had a horrible season his first season. There were a lot of interceptions. So I think he's a franchise quarterback. I think you give him another chance. But if you can get Watson, I think you got to do that. And that's the end of the story. You just can't.
That we agree on. If you can get Watson for Tua, you do that because you don't know the answer to the question. I think if you get whatever, if I could trade you for Watson, I would. Everybody should trade everybody they possibly can for Watson.
I agree.
Watson's the real deal. But that short of that, you got to try to really give Tua the actual real path to being a franchise quarterback and support level in order to achieve it.
Yep, for sure. Dustin Pedroia announced his retirement after 17 big league seasons. We talk about him in fantasy as being an elite second baseman for a number of years. Jeff Kent has been on the Hall of Fame ballot. His numbers are better than Dustin Pedroia's, but he played on a lot of teams. He's not in the Hall of Fame. If you look at second baseman in the future, Joe, it's going to be very hard to identify players at that position that we can put in. We would have thought Robinson Cano had a shot, and he no longer does. We know that. He's been busted twice already for PEDs. It's a light position at second base, but Pedroia's numbers, simply put, don't stack up to a lot of Hall of Famers. But will they stack up to players in the future at that position? That is the question. Fantasy or reality, Dustin Pedroia is a Hall of Famer.
I think it's a fantasy. I think he's a guy who had a great peak. And as a terrific player and a great defensive player, great offensive player, a great leader, a great winner, an MVP, all of those things. But when you're looking statistically, like some of his peers in that same era, You know, you look at a guy, let's say, like, I don't know, Edgardo Alfonso, Jose Vidro, and they have better power numbers than Dustin Pedroia for their career, you know, in many seasons. And Pedroia's latter part of his career, I think, could have gotten him to Hall of Fame status. Had Dustin Pedroia in the last 5 years been healthy, and even just, I would say, 80% of the player he was in his prime, I actually think you start to look at him and you say, well, cumulatively, the guy's done it, right? He had the big peak and he had good longevity. The problem is he's in that second chapter, right? He didn't have that longevity period. He didn't have that you know, back half where, you know, he helped the Red Sox win again. He's just not played in 5 years, basically. And that's the tough part. That's the tough sell. It's an unfortunate kind of set of circumstances here for Dustin Pedroia, who is one of my favorite players to watch. And I have nothing but great things to say about him. And I'm sure most of his teammates do as well. But in terms of Hall of Fame, it's a no. And, you know, you look at players who had great small windows of peak like Don Mattingly, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. And his peaks were far higher than Dustin Pedroia's. And he was equal, if not better, defensive player at his position than Pedroia was. So I think it's very difficult to say Pedroia's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I'll give you another option for a Hall of Famer, and then I'll give you my decision on Dustin Pedroia. Another second baseman with more home runs career, with 259 career home runs, Joe, 1,885 career hits, .275 batting average, with a .358 on base percentage in 2 years, is also going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame. And he played second base. Do you think that he is a Hall of Famer with those numbers that I just gave you without knowing the name?
Fringe. I don't know the defense, so I can't answer it completely.
Yeah, right. Fringe, so the name is Chase Utley. Okay.
Yeah. So, but Chase Utley had the latter part that Pedroia didn't have. The years with the Dodgers, the better part.
Right. Kept compiling for about 5 years, mm-hmm. playing 30 games, yep. 80 games, 100 games, 20 games, 70 games. Chase Utley's got a shot at the Hall of Fame, but you got to put Chase Utley in the Hall of Fame before you put Dustin Pedroia in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed. So Pedroia. Agreed. That's a really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So fantasy for me too. Yeah, fantasy for me too. By the way, you got to put Jeff Kent in, I think, before you put Pedroia.
Oh, God, how is Jeff Kent? You start looking at these numbers and having the conversations about Utley and these guys. I mean, geez, Jeff Kent. I mean, what more did Jeff Kent have to do? I don't understand. He wasn't a very likable guy, but this is not the Hall of well-like. I mean, this is not the Hall of personality. It's the Hall of Fame. He's a famous baseball player. He was good at baseball. Jeez, can we not overthink this?
There's actually a pretty good shot that Utley gets in before Kent. How about that? There's definitely a chance of that. Utley's got a World Series championship too. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. All right. Finally, this was a sad story yesterday from the world of entertainment. Dustin Diamond, very young in his 40s, ended up having stage 4 cancer. Boy, I saw the story about this. He was just diagnosed 3 weeks ago, and then they said it was just a very swift and quick downfall. And our condolences certainly with him. But Saved by the Bell, they did a reboot on Peacock. I can tell you, I have not seen 10 seconds of it. I don't even know if it's out. I just got to be transparent with that. I don't know. But the original Saved by the Bell, of course, I watched a lot of it. And fantasy reality, Joe, the original Saved by the Bell with the original cast, not even the college years, the original cast holds up.
No college years, no Miss Bliss, none of that stuff. Reality, it holds up in a weird, wacky, playful way. It does not hold up because I have seen some recently with my kids, because when they did the reboot, they ran like a whole big marathon. And I said, oh, look, guys, this is what I used to watch kind of when I was your age. And they were fascinated by it, by the terrible outfits, by the horrible hair, by the weird things that they would say and do. Yet there's some kind of weird, I don't know, charm that goes on and certain things about boys and girls in high school and things like that just, I guess, are timeless. So, yeah, it's dopey. It's fun. It's super indulgent. It was a guilty pleasure then. It does hold up. There's definitely some things and you go, ooh, you cringe now when someone says a certain thing like that couldn't make it onto TV nowadays. And there's something about that that makes it even more fun. So, yes, reality, it does hold up. And I have not seen the new one yet either, but I know it's on the Peacock. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe there's no baseball to get pushed back. Maybe that's what you end up doing.
Well, you have wrestling and Saved by the Bell on the same that's network. Right. So you got it all taken care of. I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say this does not hold up. And that's just for me. Because when I'm flipping and I see it, I don't stop. And if I do, it's very quick. So I'm going to say fantasy on this one. I really loved it at the time, but I'm not back in on it now in 2021. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. And then we stay so long here for this Tuesday. So Make sure you stay on the grid. Plenty more to come. Of course, we have In-Game Live coming up a little bit later. Scott Farrell going coast to coast. And then Joe and I will be right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. More Super Bowl props discussion with Dr. Chow, Josh Cohen from PC Sports Cards. Stack show tomorrow for you guys. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. As always, we end the show with a little commentary. In this case, it is the Sports Grid 60. Let's find out what is on Joe's mind as we end the show. Joe?
With greatness seems to come hatred. You know, what is it that we hate Tom Brady? He's so great at what he does. A lot of people hated Michael Jordan. Well, yeah, I get it. They beat your team a lot. And a lot of people don't like LeBron James either. But he's great at what he does. And I'm all for some good-natured heckling and things like that. But courtside Karen went too far. In fact, the whole comments were just hysterical. We got one of the more light moments in sports we haven't had in a while. And the fact that LeBron James actually thought when he was talking to her and her husband, he was actually talking to her and her dad, which is even funnier that he then put that on social media as well. So I understand a lot of people out there might not like LeBron James because he's dominated the NBA for years and he had a special about where he wanted to go and left his hometown and embarrassed them on the special and then went with the big three because he couldn't win on his own and then he did win on his own anyway. I get it all. But today is the day to like LeBron James, even if you hate him. Why? Because he was entertaining and he did something that we all love to do, which is tell the people who give us hate, hey, sit down courtside, Karen, or just leave the game altogether. And that is a good time feeling. So give LeBron a little bit of love today because the man deserves it.
And even in the post game, LeBron said that they didn't have to kick him out. It was fun kind of going back and forth. yeah, LeBron has really been more endearing, I would say, over the last 5-10 years for sure, no doubt. All right, well, what's not endearing has been this battle with Major League Baseball. And look, I'm hoping that on the 17th we do have pitchers and catchers reporting, but I do get the sense a little bit that there is no salaciousness with what the owners want at this point. They just kind of want more fans in the stands and things to be safe, so push it back a month. But the problem is there's so much distrust between the players and owners that the players are looking at the owners like, oh, they're up to something sneaky. I don't see anything sneaky on this one. It's delay the season a month so more fans can come and everybody can get vaccinated and people can be safe. What am I missing here? No DH, no expanded play. It's just moving things back to keep it safe. Don't get it. Thanks to LTN, of course, Brett, Danny, and Ryan, my co-host Joe Pizzapia. I'm Craig Mish. See you later.